Good morning.
Good morning.
Your house is truly blessed. I so enjoy seeing all the young people up here. That's the life, the future of the church right before you. I also applaud the teachers. It does take much patience and energy and love to care for these young people. And I applaud you on this new promotion day, new year for them. So many schools are starting roundabout. So many people have new jobs and new lives. And so today we have another beginning. This is a new day. What we're going to listen to today is a very familiar passage, the 23rd Psalm. Everyone knows it. I think I've shared this with you before. When I've had students that are non-Christian, they ask me, how and why do you Christians continually read the same passages? They say, don't you get it the first time? And I always laugh about that, these scholars, when they ask me these questions. And you know, you would probably say some of the things in your mind that say, why are you speaking on these things that we've heard of before? Well, folks, you're different. Your life changes. Your position in life changes. Your situation changes. And therefore, when you look at God's Word, you look at it differently each time. Not because the Word has changed, because you have changed. So when you encounter God's Word, hopefully you have grown spiritually and you're at a new stage in your life where it says something new to you again. And so this should be a continual action in your life, studying God's Word. Yes, you've read a passage, but it's going to tell you something different because hopefully you have grown and you're different. The 23rd Psalm is really special to me. I grew up in a semi-arid desert area in Texas. Everything is brown. There is very little water around. And so I remember when the preacher would say about lying down in green pastures and being beside beautiful still waters. Folks, that was comfort to me because I hadn't seen any of that. I was in a hot area where everything was brown and dry and hot. And I could envision an oasis with green around and shade. I always love trees. And I always tell my wife when I'm sitting there and I hear the wind blowing through the trees. Remember those leaves rustling? It gives me such comfort and peace. And some of you have wind chimes and you hear them. I love those things because it's peaceful to me. So this passage is peaceful, it's supportive, and it's encouraging. And you have a new promotion. These young people are going now to new stages in their lives. And folks, I don't care what age you are, this today is new for you. I'm sorry about what's happened in the past if it's not comfortable or comforting, but today you have a new day. And the 23rd Psalm in my mind is that encouraging thing for each one of us. I began a new class this week. I've never taught it before. I'm online with people that are all around the world, in the Philippines and all over the country. And it was, even though I know the subject, it was just new for me again in interacting with these people. So folks, let's interact with God's Word today. For nearly 30 centuries, the 23rd Psalm has been one of the most beloved passages in the Bible. There are only 118 words in this great psalm, but yet these words go to the very depth of our being, and they form a type of foundation, a rock foundation, to sustain us through very difficult and sometimes trying times. Today, I want us to determine to let the Lord truly and honestly be our guide. And I want to read these familiar words to you again. Please, just open your hearts and hear God's Word because they're powerful. The Lord is my shepherd, and I really shall not want. And the shepherd was a picture in their time of kings. Near East kings were considered shepherds. You have a shepherd for your flock in this house. And And in future months and years, you'll be looking to other shepherds for leadership. He makes me, I love this one, to lie down in green pastures. Now, do you feel that? I feel the rustling in the grass. I feel the trees around me. He makes me to lie. Green grass to me means it's not dry and dusty. It's green. It's growing. He leads me beside still waters. Ah, fishing lake. It's quiet. There are fish in there that want to be caught by me beside the still waters. He restores my soul, my real self, my innermost being. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. And yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of those who oppose me, my enemies. You've anointed my head with oil. And they had, by the way, dinners at the conclusions of covenants at that time. And what they would do with their best oils that would be imported and would be scented is to put it on their foreheads, to where their foreheads would glisten. And it would bring a fragrance into the room, and they would burn incenses in the room. So they anoint their head with oil to honor guests. My cup runs over. We're full. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You know, I could stop there. Aren't you full already reading that? If you can't feel comforted by that, your hearts are like rocks. Soften your hearts. Open your ears. Listen to the Word of God, because surely He is present in this place. To 20th century, 21st century city dwellers, the figure of the shepherd is like a flock of sheep. And this may not be necessarily meaningful or inspiring to a lot of people. I'll be frank, I haven't heard of many sheep in my life. I've been around them a lot. In Texas, we grew up, there was no sheep. They didn't like sheep. They like cattle. You know, those things that moo and stand out there, have horns. They didn't see much sheep. I didn't see any sheep. We went to Scotland, saw a lot of sheep. You ever see sheep? If you've been to Scotland, they spray paint them. Yeah, there'd be a pink one over here and a blue one. I mean, it's amazing to me. All that wool on, they spray. I guess it's to identify. Some of you know this stuff. I don't. They would just, we'd go around and be sheep standing. There's a pink sheep. I just think that's outstanding. So not many of us in our generations have really interacted with sheep. But you know, we're more today like sheep needing a shepherd than ever more. Wouldn't you like to have leadership that just simply cares about you and loves you and wants the best for you? We all need that. And when we are like a sheep and we're going along, this picture, this image, this metaphor has been repeated nearly 500 times in the Bible. And it refers to the idea of a leader and those needing led, a shepherd and his sheep. It's a favorite figure of speech in the Bible. This passage takes hold of us, folks, for you and I today, because it's positive, it's faith-filled, and it's hope-filled for an approach to life. I need and have real hope needs for this coming new part of our lives that begins today, for these young people, new classes, for students around the world now, for us in the U.S., beginning classes. Some of you have new jobs. My wife's sister's grandchildren came home from I guess starting junior high. Is that right, huh? Junior high. And he came back complaining and said, they always tell us we're in preparation for something. What do we stop preparing for? We were in elementary school. They said, well, we're preparing you for junior high school. He said, I guess. And they said, now we're preparing you for high school. And he says, I guess when I get into high school, they're going to say, we're preparing you for college. So what are they going to tell us in when we're in college? Why? Well, you're being prepared for a job, right? And he said, so when are we going to stop being in preparation for? I thought that was really great from a junior high kid. And we're always constantly being prepared for something. So I want you to know, you have hope. You're prepared for today. We're preparing for tomorrow. This passage is constructive. It's optimistic. It's confidence. And it's also full of faith. So I'm going to hold up some of the phrases here for you so that we can look beneath the words. Now, these are familiar. You sometimes turn your minds off, but look at them in a new and familiar way. First one is, I shall not want. That opening line says, the Lord is my shepherd, and I really shall not want. Mankind and you and I have sought security down through the ages. A child stands close to his mother and finds security. Did you watch them up here when they were coming up? They was looking for an older sister. They was looking for mom. Don't we all have that need? I don't care how old you are. You know, my security, Linda babysat with three of our grandkids this week. Whoa. She's equipped for that. She literally had to go over to the house, and she stayed there because parents were traveling kind of on a business adventure, and they're going to miss the first few days of school. So they asked if we would come over and take care of the kids. Well, I had work to do. I had to stay at home. So she was over with 4 days with these, and, you know, trying to think about how to entertain kids for 4 days. I mean, you have to be energetic to do this. So she was over with them for 4 days and taking care of them, all right? And so guess what? I couldn't sleep while she was gone. I mean, I laid there in bed at night going, I can't sleep. You know, this isn't right. She's my security blanket. She's laying over there. I was wanting someone there. We all need security. So this is kind of a relationship thing. And you did it with your parents. Your children did it with you. We always do it. I don't care what age you are in your life. We're looking for security. And with that, we strive for security in a bunch of different ways. We guard our health. I try to. We save for old age. We take out insurance. We long for security, but this passage emphasizes, folks, that you really have only one permanent fixed point in your life that never changes. That's God. He never changes. Thank goodness. Because we change and serve Him. So, the Lord is my shepherd. Therefore, I will not want. Even before we began to exist, we good Presbyterians, God was aware of our needs, and He provided for them. He knew we would be hungry, so He provided the seasons of the year and the productivity of the soil to make sure that the growth, the food, was there for all of us. He knew that we'd be cold, so He caused to be embedded in the great earth some areas of coal and natural gas so that we might heat our homes and our bodies. He provided the sun and the wind through nature, knowing what we would need. So we're reminded of the passage in Matthew 6:8, where Jesus said, your Father knows what things you have need of even before you ask Him. He provided for our needs. There's another passage in the Psalm when David says, I have been young, and now I am old. Yet have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. You know, I looked at pictures just the other day of some of the kids were little and when I was young. And, you know, I reflect upon that. It just does not seem that that's all rushed along so quickly. And then I look in the mirror and know, whoa, who is that old people? I'm looking at myself going, that person is old. And we were at the ball game the other night, and a lady sat down, and we sat down, and we were there. She said, can I conduct an interview with you on a little survey? And I said, well, no, we don't like that. We're at a ball game. Why not? And she said, went through all these things. And she said, so I need to ask, because it's part of the survey, how old are you all? Well, I said, well, wow, 70s. That's not right. That's old people. I'm not one of those. So I should have told her 50. Some of you would say, that's old. Not to me. It's great. 50's great. I was great at 50. I was really great at 50. And she did say, y'all don't look 70s. Yeah, I think she's patronizing, but it felt good anyway, didn't it? So in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus deals with so many things that we need to know about, and among them deals with our anxieties. I remember what y'all used to have in your marquee out here, a long time. Remember what it said? Oh, come on, you drove past it for Sundays and Sundays and Sundays. Be anxious over nothing, pray over everything. And you know, I still remember that, and I do that. I remember that daily. Be anxious over nothing. Are you anxious? Oh, it seems I am a whole lot. Are you? Be anxious over nothing, to pray over everything. Be not anxious for your body what you shall eat, nor what you shall drink, nor yet for your body what you shall put on. Is not the life more than food, and body more than raiment? I have to be careful when I'm away. Linda goes shopping. And she always says, hey, guess what? I got a new dress, got a new blouse, got a new stuff. And this, I have to be careful being gone so much, because we like new raiments, don't we? That means we like to get new clothes. I do. I like to admit that. Behold, the birds of the heaven, they neither sow, nor do they reap, nor do they gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not, folks, more valuable than they? Now, what was the highest of God's creation? This is a test. Found in Genesis 1. What was the highest of creation? Bingo. You're sitting out here. It's you. You're it. You're highest. We're of value and worth. He makes me to lie down. Now, I like this. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. The shepherd of Palestinian hills and plains would start his sheep to grazing very early in the morning. Sometimes 4 o'clock in the morning is not an unusual hour. They would eat, then move on and eat some more until the sun had warmed the earth. By mid-morning, they would be hot and tired, and their stomachs would be filled with undigested foods, grasses. To drink water was the most natural thing. Yet for them, when they're hot and have this undigested stuff in their stomach, it was most dangerous. To drink while hot and with a stomach filled with that would have meant disaster. So the wise shepherd made the sheep lie down for a while. And then when they were cool and rested and had chewed a little bit of the cud for a while, digesting the grass, they were ready to drink. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. Sometimes God makes us lie down in order that we might have some time to think about things more important than life. A period of downtime outside of the race that you're in may be God's wanting us to slow down. And I look at you out there, folks, and some of you are in the professions and you're running as hard as you can. Why do you think that? Did you know in this country, I was reading the other day, that we have some of the longest periods of times without time off vacations? You know, in Europe, they have mandatory, months off, a month off, where entire groups of people are just take off. Wonder why we talk about resting and vacation. Well, I can't be away from my work that much. Or I'm going to miss this, or I'm going to miss that, folks. You'll run on that wheel the rest of your life. You know the phrase, slow down and smell the flowers along the way. And Linda reminds me of this. If I worry, get anxious about all of these things, you miss what's important for today. Because today is not going to exist again. And if you miss how beautiful it is and what it offers, all you're going to do is run on that wheel. This is important, that you simply lay down in the green grass and rest every once in a while. And I don't care what age you are, mom, if you're young, I don't see how you do that. You moms have a great DNA. I don't see how you do that. Those critters are there. You young moms, they're there. And they're there, and they're there, and they're there. And they need, and they need, and they need. And that's what you're made for. I'm a dad. I love the kids. I don't have that DNA. I mean, it wears me out. Is that a confession? That's not. That's a good confession. Yeah. And it doesn't mean I don't love them. I can do great things, but 15 minutes later, is it time for bed yet for them? You see? Don't rush past that, because they're beautiful at their age. And you're going to be amazed at how quickly they're now like this. And they're running on the wheel. They're running the same wheel. Enjoy what you have now. He restores my soul. When David was young as a shepherd boy out in the hills, he got very close to God. God gave him strength to kill a lion and a bear. Gave him power to kill Goliath. I like to preach on Goliath sometimes. That's a great story. And to free the people of Israel. No little task for any of those things. Then David moved to town. I love that expression. And got so busy with other things that he was separated from God to a great degree. Why? Because he was being busy being king-like. Doing king-like things. Busy. Busy. This good man who was close to God got too busy. He fell into great sin. He needed to be restored. This great biblical leader got separated from God. God's prophet called David's sin squarely to his attention. David changed, he repented, he acknowledged, and then he was forgiven. He restores my soul. Only, folks, God can restore what you are inside. I'm going to say that again. Only God can restore who you are inside. I find that comforting. Like a clock, man's spirit has a way of running down, and it needs to be rewound. One translation has it, he revives life in me. Has your clock run down a little bit? Does it on occasion? Be honest, you say, yeah, I may even be there today. Let it be rewound. I love that. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Did you know that a sheep really has no sense of direction? Goats, by the way. Do you know the difference between sheep and goats? Of course you do. Goats are goats. All right. Goats don't need shepherds. They wander around. Do you ever notice that? I mean, yeah, sometimes you have to go get up there. But they don't have the needs sheep have. A dog or a cat or a horse, when lost, will find its way home, but not a sheep. A sheep's eyesight is very limited. Mine was, until I had LASIK. I can see now. And that LASIK surgery, that's scary. Anybody ever have that? I did it 15 years ago. I don't know, 20. That's when it was kind of in infancy. You're laying there with your eye wide open, and here's this thing. You can't close your eye, coming right at your eye. And you know they're going to do something. That's scary. Right at your eye. Boom. And he's in there doing cutting. Doctors are amazing to me. Sheep eyesight's limited. He only sees a few yards ahead of him. How like sheep we are. When you think of all of the affairs of life, all of the needs, all of the requirements, how easy it is for us to get lost. David got lost. This man of God who slew giants, who saved a nation by God's strength, got lost. How wonderful it is to know that he leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. So our Lord truly can and does guide us. We too are nearsighted and have no real sense of self-direction. So our Lord knows the way and provides the way and guides us as we allow him. As we allow him. These things being true, David writes, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." Now, I say that with some sort of trepidation because Have you ever really been really afraid? Of course I have. I'm human. Little things, big things. Fear is just a part of who we are as humans. Valley of shadow of death signifies any of the valleys of life. Disappointment, some serious illnesses, loneliness, age, death, or any other valleys that men and women must go through. Humans will go through valleys. But David says, I'm really not going to fear no evil because you are with me. As long as God is with us, as long as we stay close to him, there's no valley that we can't go through that he will not be with us and guide us through those hurts and times. Most men and women are afraid of death. All of us to some degree, and some men in tremendous needs, so we need to lean upon him. Finally, thy rod and thy staff. You all have heard these so many times before. They comfort me. A sheep is a defenseless animal having no talons, no claws, and no means of fighting back. Especially the pink sheep that was blue ones that they sprayed. It still amazes me. Pink sheep sprayed. The sheep is an easy prey for animals of the forest, of the field, so the shepherd carries a rod with him. And you've heard this, difference between a rod and a staff. A rod's kind of a club, sometimes 2-3 feet long, generally held on the belt. The staff is a very heavy stick with a crook on the end of it. And it kind of goes, it's about 8 feet long on occasion. And with it, he can reach down and he can lift a lamb back up onto the path. These are only defenses for the sheep, for without these, that sheep is defenseless. Thy rod and the staff, they comfort me. The rod for the club, the staff for the hook to guide him back onto the proper way and path, defending him. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Perhaps the figures change, but maybe not. In Palestine, there were thorns that grew in the fields. There are also poisonous weeds. We read that the shepherds, those that really loved their sheep, would go out in the spring and dig out these thorns and the poisonous weeds and burn them. In a sense, they were preparing the table for their sheep, preparing a pasture that the sheep might graze in safety without injuring themselves on these poisonous weeds or thorns. And it says, you know, anointed my head with oil and my cup runs over. Well, again, as I shared with you, this is the picture of when you have a completion of a covenant. Oftentimes it would be a meal with honored guests. They would take these fine, expensive, imported oils, rub them on their foreheads, generally speaking, symbolically. That would make them glisten. They would smell great. They would burn incenses of these oils in the tents. And it was considered an honor thing to do to these particular people. So, you've anointed my head with oil. My cup runneth over. For a sheep, the cup would be a cup of pure, clean water after a day of walking on dry, hot ground. And I so understand that. Growing up as a kid, you very seldom saw something real green. Or rivers. I remember I still like to cross bridges and see these huge rivers. Because that's new, seeing that water flow. It's amazing. Surely goodness and loving kindness. When all this is unfolded, David says in the last line of his great psalm, a word or two about what he intends and hopes for the future. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Now think of the diseases that have been anticipated, the terrible tragedies that have occurred, some that have happened recently, and that some that may be looming on the horizon. But David somehow says, I know all of that, but I have such faith in my God that I surely believe that good and loving kindness will come from him. In the face of our dangers today, and there are many, do we not also need this, folks, as hope-filled, faithful attitudes towards life? It seems that all we talk about and read about are the terrible tragedies of life, and they're real. They're there. We need to realize and truly believe that God cares for his people. It's on the same theme of faith and God's great love for His people that you can build your life. Fears and doubts tear apart our peaceful lives, and they can lead to frustration and ruin. You cannot build a life on fear. You can build a life on confidence and faith. Then comes the great crescendo of self-dedication. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. He's saying, in effect, I am determined not to stray away. I'm determined to live in God's family. This is God's family here. I just feel like I come home when I'm with you all. And, you know, I've had a stressful week, even at my age. I've got stuff going. And I get a little anxious. But I come here, and on Sunday morning, it's like coming home to family. And, you know, that's what we are, God's family. And I know this is a transition time for your church. And many things are happening. Many good things will happen. And just remember, your family here. Don't bring the anxieties of the world in here without laying them here on this altar. It says, don't be anxious over anything. Pray over everything. Because the world will want to consume you. I guarantee you. Don't let it. There are three simple words can serve to summarize the message of this great song. Contentment, courage, and confidence. Contentment is registered in the opening line. The Lord is my shepherd. How can you want if He's your shepherd? Courage is shown in the middle of the passage when He says, even though I walk through tough times in shadows, yeah, I might be afraid, but I'm strengthened because I know God's there. He's not left you. And even when I think that I'm supposed to do something, you know, I've worked through my anxieties because I know God's already prepared the way. I'll fear no evil. And finally, confidence. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I'm going to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And that doesn't just mean I'm going to come to church every Sunday. It means you're in the house and the family of God. So, as I close this message, do you want to make your home ready? Do you want to let Him be your shepherd? Then folks, acknowledge. The biblical phrase for that is repent. Okay, do you know? You need to do it every day. Lord, I'm weak. I've sinned. I know it. I give it to You. I pray for forgiveness. And guess what He does? He forgives you. You move on. You look for His strength again. So this time in your life, experience real contentment and real courage and real confidence. God's truth is the way. And this house of God is the light guiding you. Isn't that powerful stuff? From this passage that you've all memorized all your life, you can have that courage and that confidence that He's there with you. Taiwanese Presbyterian Church of Greater St. Louis, it's an honor to be with you every time I come because you lift me up. God's Word lifts us all up. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, it's a joy to worship in Your house. It's an honor to be before You. We come in anxious, we come in worried, we come in unsure sometimes because we're in a real world with so many shortcomings when we try to do things on our own. I pray, Lord, that You would bless this house of worship as it moves forward in Your name with Your direction, Your hope, Your inspired future, an assured future of hope and joy because You're present. Bless this house. Bless these young people that were promoted today. Bless the teachers as they lead them. This is the future of Your church, Lord. Lord, and pray that You would truly help us to be at our best in serving You. Bless our hearts today. Fill us with Your joy. in thy Son's name. Amen.